Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm delighted that you could tune into our webinar titled End-to-End Solutions and Partners for Complete Solutions, sponsored by Canon Solutions America. I think we all know that adding value and streamlining workflow, meeting deadlines, and outstanding customer satisfaction aren't nice to have in today's marketplace. They're really what drive your business model and keep your customers coming back for more. And you're continually looking for solutions to address business challenges that include inefficient internal workflow that impacts your turnaround time, profitability, and customer satisfaction, dealing with the challenge of inefficient integration of equipment and software solutions that result in islands of automation, the need to have that one-stop shop for customers to provide a full scope of services, and then easy access to job and business information to rapidly respond to customer inquiries and requests. And what you're going to hear today is that there's no single answer to address all of these challenges. You're going to hear about the requirement to have both the right software tools and partners to build solutions to manage in this complex environment. And so today, I'm delighted to be joined by what I consider to be three experts in the field. The first is one of my colleagues at InfoTrends, Ryan McAbee, and Ryan's a senior consultant there. And then Larry Vaughn, sales and marketing visionary at Seabridge Media, and Tim Gandry, the vice president at Seabridge Media, are going to talk about what they're doing in today's market to deal with the challenges and the requirements associated with having end-to-end workflow solutions. Before we get started, what I would like to do is give you a few tips for today's webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the help widget below. If you have a question for today's speakers, and we'll be taking them throughout the webinar, all you have to do is submit them via the Q&A box. Make sure you disable pop-up blockers. And if you want to see what the console can do, click on the Tips for Attendees widget for a complete rundown. Now, relative to what we're going to be discussing today, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the workflow challenge and what's going on with workflow and the demands that your customers are placing on you to streamline your operations. Ryan's going to share with you how people are transforming their workflow, and then Larry and Tim are really going to share with you how they've taken up that challenge. We'll wrap up with a few recommendations and conclusions, and again, we'll be taking your questions throughout the webinar. First of all, when we look at the market and what you're dealing with day in and day out, what we're seeing is a market that continues to be more competitive than ever. You've got buyers that continue to demand lower costs with higher quality. They want you to offer them complex cross-media services. We're seeing tremendous growth in terms of the work coming in through the Internet. You're seeing a higher volume of shorter-run jobs. You've got turnaround times that are decreasing. And the bottom line is that production efficiency is critical. And what you want to have are workflow automation solutions that streamline your operations. Sometimes what our customers and clients will tell us is that what you really need, if you're looking at end-to-end solutions, is efficiency and effectiveness. And when we look at effectiveness, that's really building a business model around doing the right thing. And that means putting in place the right activities and applying the best strategies for a competitive advantage with your clients. And then there's digital efficiency, and that's what we categorize as doing the thing right. And that means that you've got to look at the processes you have in place and make sure that they're completed using the fewest resources in the shortest possible time. I want to spend a few minutes talking about digital effectiveness and what clients are demanding as they look at what services you need to provide. We just completed at InfoTrends a study titled Understanding Vertical Markets, Enterprise Communications Requirements. And we actually went out and surveyed more than 1,000 people that buy your services from companies that employ more than 500 people. And basically what we asked them was, how important is it for a print services vendor to offer the following services? And what you're seeing is that today, They're looking at things like making sure that you've got a good mailing and fulfillment operation, good graphic design, the ability to warehouse their materials. But when we start looking at tomorrow, they want a partner that can help deal with mobile marketing, multi-channel campaigns, hosting websites for them, helping them with web design. And so the demands, while you may be able to meet them today, you're clearly going to have to offer a different services portfolio as you look at tomorrow. And so what we're seeing as you look at both workflow and the solutions that people are offering is they've taken a very evolutionary approach to building their business. And you'll hear more of this from Larry and Tim. But typically they've started out with a traditional printing. They've added to that web-enabled services. They build on that email and variable data. And then they move up to more advanced services like cross-media, mobile, social, web, and print with closed-loop data analytics. Now, as we studied the marketplace and we talked to these print buyers out in the marketplace, of the 1,000 companies that we interviewed, what we found out was that their print vendors are, in fact, offering them a purchasing platform and or portal in almost 57% of the cases. What that means is that you as a service provider really need to focus in on a workflow that provides web enablement. The other thing that they told us is that the percentage of online printing that they're going to be ordering via the web is going to increase dramatically. And in fact, if you take a look at the attachment, you'll see that the last 12 months it went up, but it's going to go up significantly over the next 2 years. And in fact, what they told us was that in terms of their online print spending, in the past 12 months they purchased about 32% via the Internet. That's going to climb to 40% over the course of the next 2 years. That's significant when you look at the overall purchasing patterns of enterprises today. And what they told us was that the place that they're really looking for partnerships when they view and look at the Internet is helping manage the overall marketing supply chain. And what they've looked at is all of the materials that they produce, print, promotional products, point of sale, that they're using to market their products and services. And what marketing executives said is that the supply chain is broken for all of their materials. And what they found was that they have a warehouse full of old materials. 84% of them send outdated marketing materials. 33% of the marketers have no form of inventory management. And another 55% don't have any real-time access to what their inventory is for marketing materials or ad specialties. And so what they're looking for as they look at workflow is a good business partner that will help them manage that market supply chain. What that means is they want a partner that will offer web-facing tools, let them do online order entry, and ensure that they're really doing a minimal amount of inventory as they view their overall business models. The next major thing that these enterprises told us was that variable data is a critical component in the overall marketing mix. And in fact, when you look at this slide, what they told us was that more than 60% of the campaigns that they run are either personalized one-to-one or they're segmented one-to-few. That means that I've got to incorporate variable data in my overall workflow. Now, what they told us about that variable imaging was that they're becoming more and more sophisticated relative to the demands that they're placing on their service providers. And what you're seeing is the mix in terms of high complexity, medium complexity, low complexity, or no variable data. And what you're seeing is much, much higher demands for the high complexity variable data where I've got variable pictures and images, blocks of text, and dynamic composition, or the medium side of it, where it includes personalized text and phrases within a piece, not just the address or the salutation. And finally, what we're seeing is your customers want you to take it one step further. It's not just personalization. It's actually looking at integrated media. And we asked them about the importance of providing an integrated solution. What they told us in 45% of the instances was that it's important for print service providers to offer integrated multi-channel marketing. And so that means that as you look at workflow, I not only need to consider my workflow for print, but I need to figure out how to deliver consistent messaging across mobile, social, and online channels. Now, when we ask them about the challenges associated with dealing with cross-media, and we did a survey in partnership with Premier on titled Transformative Workflow Strategies, what they said was that the competencies that they have in terms of cross-media are relatively low. They still need to do a lot of work in terms of incorporating mobile, social, and video into their overall workflow competency. They also told us that as people move up market and as they're trying to deal with more complex variable data campaigns and data-related services, that they can help with data acquisition and cleansing, but they feel that their weakness is mining that data to help their customers find the best targets, as well as tracking the results and responses to specific campaigns. And finally, the other area which is a key consideration relative to workflow is the concept of connectivity with customer systems. And what your customers are starting to look for is, how do you interface with my ERP system, my digital asset management system, my CRM system, my data storage, my campaign management? And so not only will I need to look at workflow from the perspective of my own environment, but I'm also going to need to have the ability to look at how to integrate with my customer's environment. And so those are new challenges, different challenges for you and your customers. And what I'm going to do now is turn it over to my colleague, Ryan McAbee. And Ryan's going to talk to you about how you can implement the right workflow to be most cost effective. Ryan, take it away.
Excellent. Thank you, Barb, and thank you for everybody attending this afternoon. You know, Barb shared some great data points that highlight the many opportunities to increase efficiency by investing, and more importantly, integrating the relevant software systems. To understand why end-to-end workflows are important, we're going to first take a look at the impact of technology innovation, review where most print and marketing service providers find themselves today, then the importance of focusing the activities around the customer, and finally, how to design workflows and processes to accommodate these challenges. Here we can see why these changes have been occurring. How technology has been affecting the delivery and consumption of media has, for the most part, paralleled changes in the printing industry. The analog-to-digital conversion that we saw in the 90s and early 2000s, where we saw the early adoption of the Internet, is also where the industry, print industry, also experienced a conversion from analog to digital. Film output to CTT would be an appropriate example there. We are now fully in the grips of the interactive digital and social mobile interactive periods displayed on this chart. We know this because service providers are offering mobile barcodes along with digital and cross-media services to make print interactive. We also see a period of neural interactivity that is on the horizon. We're not there yet. You know, consumer technology is just entering the space with innovations like Google Glasses, which add a layer of interactivity to the real world. During this evolution of media, your software systems have to evolve along with your strategy and offering.
Ryan, I've got a quick question for you.
Sure.
One of the folks said, could you define just a little bit more succinctly the neural interactive phase in terms of what you mean by that and what it would mean from an end-user perspective?
Sure. So the neural interactive phase is really taking basically the convergence of the physical and the digital. And if we take the example of Google Glasses as a case study here, Basically, it's a pair of optical glasses that display or stream information to whoever's wearing those glasses to kind of put a layer on top of the physical world. So let's say you're walking down the street and you're passing stores along the street. It would give you feedback maybe from Yelp or some other online properties to say exactly what you're doing at that point. It could even, you know, pop up maybe coupons or discount codes as you're walking in the neighborhood too. So that's what we kind of mean by neural interactive.
And then, Ryan, one other question. What have you seen on the social media side relative to how people are, especially print service providers, integrating social media into campaigns and working with clients on social media? Do you have any specific examples you could share?
Well, on the examples, the Interlink One is a vendor of software, and I've seen them be very active in every social channel. In particular, you know, one of the newer social channels is Pinterest, where you basically can pin items to a digital corkboard, if you will. And they've done really interesting things in terms of their color branding. So that could be an example. You know, if we think about companies like Coca-Cola with their iconic red color, that could be an opportunity in a Pinterest-type application to extend their brand color and be known for that. So there's a lot of different examples.
Just one other one, Ryan, and in terms of what we've seen companies do on the social media side, is there's an application, and they featured it in a PODI case history with a company called Ducky. And Chick-fil-A did a direct mail piece, and they used the Ducky software so that I could put a link to a personalized URL which had a specific offer, then using Ducky, I could forward that offer to my friends and my LinkedIn colleagues. And what it did is for a campaign where they sent out 5,000 postcards, because I could forward it to friends with referrals, they actually got a 279% response rate. And so that's another thing that you want to sit down and think about when you look at comprehending that in terms of your overall workflow initiatives. And just a thought starter there. Thanks,
Barb. That's an example. That's a great example, actually, Barb, with Ducky and how to integrate, you know, real-world applications with the print aspect as well. Absolutely. So in the past, you know, we were talking about where we've kind of been today. So in the past, most print service providers have thought about automation as a kind of department-level exercise. You know, we might start by automating pre-press, or maybe the press, or then move on to the binder or shipping, or maybe we want to take a closer look at the front of the house. As we see here, two-thirds of printers know that automation is important to their business because it eliminates manual steps, which reduce the time and cost associated with producing their work. We've been and are still seeing a trend toward this, what we refer to as super efficiency, which expands beyond the scope of any single department or island of automation to include all the steps within the print production operation. Super efficiency really has two parts. On one hand, we need one point of entry for job specs or campaign management that will then travel throughout production steps without any reduplication of effort. On the other hand, we also need feedback as the work moves throughout each department. When both are working seamlessly together, we end up with a continuous feedback loop from beginning to end. Of course, all of this efficiency is for naught without sufficient focus on the customer. We need to kind of have a renewed focus on the realities of the print buyer. And marketers and print buyers of today are having more difficulty getting their message through to their target audience. They're needing to justify their media spend overall, and that definitely includes any print components. They're wanting to save time and efficiency with the campaign and with the entire print buying process. And, of course, they want to be kept up to date via email, text messaging, or maybe online dashboards as to what is going on. You know, at the beginning, if I'm a print buyer and am ordering online, I want instant pricing for that whatever project that I'm starting to create. And I also need to basically be able to submit, edit, collaborate, and approve whatever content that I may be submitting for the particular job or campaign. Depending upon the scope or the type of work requested, the customer will need different feedback. So for a commercial print shop, you know, a quote, approve approval, delivery date, invoice might suffice. For a cross-media campaign, there's probably going to be more information needed regarding the campaign management and response tracking that would be required. And if it was simple, something like simple fulfillment, you know, maybe only tracking information will be needed. And then I mentioned that print buyers want to do all of this ordering, interactivity, and status tracking online and at the speed of, you know, now. To become super efficient, as we were talking about, and as this diagram highlights, you have to reduce friction and increase automation not only between you, but your partners and your customers. That means you need to start linking your online presence to your business and production workflows. Whether that be through database connections or accepted specifications like XML or JDF, it is critical that these software systems seamlessly exchange information. For commercial printers, this might involve passing job and billing information from your web to print storefront onto your management information system and then releasing an electronic job ticket into your production workflow. The production workflow could then send job spec information to automate to the intended equipment, whether that be, you know, a digital or offset type print application. Time and costing data, of course, is actively being collected and returned along the way. A common approach to this is with forward constraint design. And with forward constraint design, you design from the end to the beginning around a specific product type, or as we can see here, kind of from the bottom of this chart to the top. The type of sophistication of products that can be offered will be constrained by your processes and equipment, but still satisfy the customer's needs. So let's say you're offering photo books. Instead of offering any size on any stock with any number of pages, you might offer instead five sizes on two different stocks and maybe up to 20 pages as a default offer, and then design your end-to-end workflow around that particular application. Of course, this becomes even more difficult yet critical as you add more products and offerings, whether that be through fulfillment, wide format printing, or some other value-added service. Now let's look at some areas within your business and production workflows that may be ripe for a transformation. First, we have software that enables external connectivity for your customer. Many of you may already have a web-to-print storefront, but are you following the best practices of the e-commerce leaders, such as focusing on design, a simplified checkout procedure, you know, something near the one-click checkouts of Amazon or Apple, and are you getting it optimized for mobile, whether that be for a tablet or smartphone viewing? Moving on to the business workflow, are you seamlessly transferring jobs from your storefront into your management system? Are you able to track all the correspondence with your customers? Or have you implemented electronic job ticketing and scheduling, perhaps, to streamline the internal communication inside the shop and offer end-to-end process management? These are just a few ways to think about transforming and getting the most out of your business workflow. In the production areas, is your workflow built to engage the customer through edits, revisions, and approvals? I know Tim and Larry are going to talk a little bit about that later on. Is the workflow constructed to intelligently route files based off of either job ticket or metadata type information so that the operators don't have to intervene? For those offering cross-media services, have you streamlined the data collection and cleansing process? Can you effectively plan and deliver the campaign with all of the different stakeholders, then deliver tracking and analytics on how well each segment performed? As we can see from the 2011 Premier study, commercial printers have a high need for transformation in each category, which basically means it is a requirement for doing business today. As we can see under the commercial category, data analytics was at a medium. I would also argue for anyone offering cross-media services today that this is going to be a requirement going forward and be more important. Based off of these transformations, we are also seeing an overlap or blending of business models between service-focused and product-focused approaches. Providers are expanding their value-added services and navigating upstream toward the C-suite to offer more and to more actively learn and provide consulting for their clients. This is being blended with a well-established product-focused approach where you develop the product offering starting at the end delivery point and working backwards to how it is packaged for the customer, such as through an online storefront. Again, that forward constraint design concept. a product-focused approach would be, you know, maybe how VistaPrint produces business cards, where they have designed a touch-free workflow from beginning to end. In the process, they have become super efficient in producing those specific products. As we will soon hear, Seabridge has taken this approach for an application they delivered to one of their clients. Now, to learn how Seabridge has been able to blend the service and product-focused approaches and streamline their operations, I'll turn it right back over to Barb. And we might have some questions. I'm not sure.
Yeah, just a couple quick questions. Ryan, on that transformative workflow side, you had, you know, high need in terms of making that transformation. The bulk of our audience is either a commercial printer or an implant print audience today. If I'm just getting started and I have all of those silos, is there a place that you recommend that I get started? Where is the first step that you see?
That's a good question. And, of course, it's always going to be dependent upon the particular environment based upon whatever applications that you're trying to produce and along with your equipment and software mix. I would say one of the most common steps for, like, a commercial printer for automation to take it beyond the island approach would be sending information from prepress to go ahead and preset equipment in the printing area, whether that be digital or offset. Probably a next logical second step that we very commonly see is linking any kind of management or storefront system to automatically be able to create jobs in the prepress department.
If somebody requested that we go back to that slide, let me ask one other question. One of the bigger challenges is obviously getting your customer systems to connect with you, and I'll ask Larry and Tim the same question. How challenging is that, and how do you get your customers to let you interface with their ERP or their CRM-type systems?
I would say it's not so much of a technical kind of problem that you have to provide a solution to. It's more understanding what that particular customer system is providing in terms of information to them so that they can make business decisions. And then once you understand that information, that the customer's, you know, ERP or whatever type system that we're talking about, usually based upon some kind of database, once you understand that and how they can take that into actionable information to drive their business, that's when you can then determine and map out actually what kind of information exchange that you need between your customer system and then your own.
And then I have one last question. It's from one of the implants that's online. And it looks like the implant doesn't have the same level of need as a commercial printer. And I'm interested in why that perspective.
Yeah, that's interesting that it came out of this particular study. I mean, if you think about it, some of it's are pretty logical conclusions. If we think about implant in terms of how they typically function as an entity of a larger organization, that's maybe why we don't see as much need, quote-unquote, for the external connectivity factor, because it's already housed within some system inside of the main operation. So it's just a little bit of a different application and a little bit different typically maybe in customer set as to why we see these discrepancies.
Okay, terrific. Well, Ryan, thanks a bunch. Now what we're going to do is we're going to hear from Larry Vaughn and Tim Gandry, and they're going to talk to you a little bit about what they've done at Seabridge to really deal with very complex applications in a very complex environment. So with that, I am going to turn it over to Larry and Tim. Larry, take it away.
Barb, thank you very much. I appreciate you inviting us on this meeting here today. I'd like to tell you just a little bit what Seabridge is about and really what created To The Point to get us to Seabridge. Seabridge was founded here in Houston in March 2012. And we were formed by two of the top printing companies here in Houston, which was Ideal Printers, which I owned, and Steve Johns. He owned Print Mailers. And we were friendly competitors here in Houston. And even though we were in the same market, we still had different aspects of the business. And we were both in this approximately 20, 26 years, 27 years apiece. And a lot of the businesses that the customers that we support now are agencies, publishers. We do a lot of education material, We do a lot of nonprofit. Here again, we do a lot of mailing and fulfillment now. We do a lot of financial, and our two biggest markets that we deal in are healthcare and also automotive. But I'd like to tell you a little bit about what drove us to merge. You know, being in business, you know, for that long period of time, you know, we have both seen quite a bit and seen the market change, as Ryan was talking about a while ago. But, you know, we were both, you know, both companies had declining revenue issues that we were continually to work on. And, you know, constant pricing pressures, which I know all of us guys out there, you know, have had those challenges on that. But some of the great things, you know, the reasons for the consolidation, you know, this gave us a broader, more extensive product offering because of both footprints that we had. It was a competitive advantage to keep all services in-house, and it took, you know, an overall lowering of our overhead and cutting costs. And, you know, any time you merge two businesses, you know, it's not always easy. I mean, it has its challenges. And some of the challenges were, you know, to redefine our workflows and actually, you know, put the two cultures together. You know, of course, naturally, I was more of a sales culture as they were an operational culture, which naturally made us a good merger. But then, you know, we had to have new tools, you know, required to have a wide range of applications and put them together. But some of the expanded services that we've had to meet the customer needs, because it's, you know, you're always wanting to listen to the customer, and the customer's pretty much driving whatever you do. We've automated more of our design, our pre-press area. We've automated more of our mailing, our logistics, our digital, and offset, which a tremendous amount of automation has been put in that area, as well as kitting fulfillment. And Tim, he worked real close with one of our customers, and he'll really go into to some of that to really tell y'all. This was probably this customer's with us about 8 years, I believe it was, and we started talking to them, telling them how we could automate it for them. And so we worked with them for about 18 months, and now we are fully connected with that customer all the way through their entire system. But here again, Tim will talk about that. But then also we've automated some of our binder area, and now, you know, we're stretching into our large and grand format. So it you know, has it been easy? No, it has not. Has it been challenging? Yes, it has been challenging. But all in all, it's been great. It really has. And so it's nice to have renewed energy and being able to see growth, which has been great. And what I'd like to do, Barb, if it's okay, I'd like to go ahead and transfer this off to Tim.
Can I just ask one quick question before you turn over to Tim?
Yeah.
So clearly we're in an industry which is going through major consolidation, and mergers much like you've been through. Is there an approach or a recommendation that you would have for others that are going to go through something similar in terms of how to look at workflow and what considerations you need to make when you're doing the consolidation?
Well, Barb, let me kind of tell you how I did it. You know, and the very first thing you need to make sure that you get into the mode. I mean, don't be just overly proud. I mean, it's tough for everybody, and everybody out there is having a tough time also. I mean, you're not the Lone Ranger out there. But one of the things that I did is just started reaching out to look at other print shops to see what kind of facility they had, what type of culture they had, what type of offerings that took place. And then when myself and Steve Johns here at Printmaters, when he and I started talking, we actually negotiated with each other, not necessarily on how the merger was going to take place, but what kind of offerings that we have for our customers. But this was a 7-month step that we did, and then we finally got all that put together, and then we made the merger and the announcement. And then we physically moved into one building, and of course that was a challenge in itself. But we had to look at the customer base, what our customers were, what our customers need, what kind of automated tools that we had, what kind of automated tools that they had here at PMI, and just to see really what direction we wanted to go in. And then here again, Tim will kind of tell you all some of the new tools that we're putting in place. But here again, you've got your customers that you're working with, but then you've got to get all your employees on board with this also, of how it's going to be automated, how it's going to be taking place, you know, what kind of training that you have to put in place for them to get them to understand the automation.
Good insight. Thanks, Larry. And we'll turn over to Tim now.
All right. Thanks, Barb, and thanks, everyone, for attending. One of the main benefits of merging businesses was the aggregation of knowledge under one roof. It allowed us to put specialists in charge of different departments and technologies. These new positions were basically to manage new technology and really dedicate time towards web and some of the automation tools. Once we were both under the same roof, we immediately experienced some of that confusion, slowdowns, red tape, and everything that comes from getting bigger and putting two companies together. But the combination of customers and workflows, it really exposed how many different inputs and customer types that we had. One of our top priorities was to implement a more standardized input of files and orders while giving customers a better overall buying experience from SeaBridge Media. So pre-merger, both companies had good systems in place, but we found some new tools and partners that could really enhance both our production efficiency and give better solution to our existing customer base. The next few slides, I'm just going to go into a few illustrations and some of the tools that we're using to manage those processes and the orders. We are a really good mixture of offset digital and large format printing here. One of the newest and actually still being implemented tools is our prepress system by Esco Artwork. This mostly impacts our traditional offset print side of the business, and I'm by no means an expert on this software. I don't understand 100% of their features, but I'm going to give it on a high level of how I understand how it works. The system's a combination of modules, Automation Engine, Nexus, and Web Center, where Automation Engine takes care of workflow control, Nexus handles the ripping of the files for plate making, and Web Center is a web-based proofing portal for our customers to view the proofs online. The three systems work in conjunction to streamline the processes and automate tasks such as pre-flight trapping, file management, proofing, and plating. Customers can get online, they can receive email notifications in real time as the job's published to Web Center, and then there's no waiting for customer service to upload the files, email proofs, and the back and forth is really reduced. The software allows customers to make their own revisions, reprocess their files on our system, and publish back to Web Center without any SeaBridge intervention. By eliminating all that back and forth, driving, emailing, the changes can be really done in minutes compared to hours. Additionally, our prepress workload is reduced, and the revisions are handled mostly by the customer.
And so what you're really saying is that this whole, basically the whole, well, it automates prepress. It also takes care of the challenge of getting proofs back and forth because you get the customer to approve them as part of this interface with Esco.
Right. I mean, you're reducing the touch points in essence. Yeah. I mean, there's not as many people handling it. We're letting a software tool be real time to the customer. It's real facing. I'm not waiting on a customer service to get back to their desk or a salesperson to check email while they're on the road, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, we find it, you know, that's some of the customer feedback. One of our chief complaints was proofing time. And when we're dealing with mail-sensitive times and, you know, other, it's the print world. We know how it is. You know, we just had to give a better buying experience.
That's great, Tim.
So moving kind of to our digital production, we have a wide range of digital print applications. Our digital department is comprised of a wide range of equipment hardware as well. We have HP Indigo, Sheetfed Osays, Konica Minoltas. We run a ton of both color and black and white work, forms, business cards, NCR, training materials, imprinting, and a whole lot more. We have multiple systems in place for our hardware, but one of our most utilized systems is Prisma Prepare. It really serves our operators well. They're able to take some traditional pre-press work away from that department and quickly and accurately perform the tasks at press. A lot of that stuff that gets sent back before, if there are any errors in the files and whatnot, is really corrected there real time when the job's on the press. One of the biggest areas of improvement that I've seen with this tool is the when we're dealing with like WIRO, SPIRO books and things that were typically composed with PowerPoint and other hard-to-print files that do in really irrational time frames and frequently proofed and changed by the customer under last-minute deadlines. The adjustments in tabs and blank pages, inserting pages, and those other tough, you know, tasks are easily managed in the tool and helps us be really efficient. The diagram here is, it illustrates our best end-to-end workflow. They alluded to it earlier. It took a lot of time and hardware and software investment, but we're automated from the customer's production management system all the way through shipping. Barb mentioned integrating with the customer environment, and that's really what we've done here. Orders are automatically sent from their MIS system to an FTP folder that we constantly pull. And once our software retrieves the orders, they're processed automatically and job tickets print on a production workstation as they come into the system. The operators can scan barcodes to process shipments when the product's ready, and the shipment notification is sent right to their MIS system so they can expect delivery of anything they've ordered. Without this automation, we could really never handle the amount of files and the moving pieces it would take to do this work. During our busy time of the year, we process probably over 5,000 orders a day, which when you divide that out, the number of items touching, we're talking 50,000 individual components within each order.
Wow. That's really lights out production.
It took a lot of time and investment, but it really does work, and it really locks us in with the customer. And it was a true testament to print on demand as far as converting from lots of inventory to, you know, print as they need it when they need it.
Before you get into the what's next side of it, I do have a couple of questions for you, Tim.
Okay.
You brought up the ESCO workflow, and the question from one of our participants on the webinar was a lot of customers don't know a lot about the digital assets that they're dealing with. What type of end users are you interfacing with when you're dealing with the ESCO workflow?
I'll admit it usually is a little bit higher-end company with – they've got creatives in-house. They've got design teams. They're familiar with their own compositions, and they're managing their own assets.
So what you're saying is when you're looking at the ESCO workflow, you're not dealing with somebody like me who knows nothing about art. You really are you've worked that workflow into the appropriate environments in
terms of the ESCO we're gonna push towards our bigger clients, you know, where the smaller guys we're gonna probably try to put more in a web storefront type application.
Okay. And then the other question I got on the ESCO workflow is, are you using ESCO for proofing your digital jobs?
Yes and no. It depends. There are times where we are. It's really being implemented now, and we've been focusing on trying to automate the offset as much as possible because it's taking the longest, you know, between the processes of getting the hard copy proofs. But a lot of times the digital stuff that we manage is either proofed online with a web-to-print tool or not proofed at all.
And then on the web-to-print side, what tools are you using? Are you just using one, or have you got multiple web-to-print storefront tools?
We have multiple. We have a kind of an inventory and fulfillment tool. We have a traditional web-to-print site that's through HP Director, and we're actually adding another one that we're in development right now, a more of a custom-type suite.
Okay. And when you look at them in terms of what you're using and I'm going to say this, why you're using it, because I think the web-to-print side is kind of an interesting one. Why have you got multiple different storefront applications
Well, they, as you know, they range widely in what they do and how they work, and it really goes back to customer needs. We're developing something a little bit more custom that's a little bit more flexible to give us, you know, a little bit wider range of applications and give us a little bit more ability to work with some outside vendors that we're trying to develop. The traditional workflow and business-to-business model is fine on a lot of the off-the-shelf products that you can buy for web-to-print, but changing anything business-to-consumer or and going beyond just your traditional business-to-business is going to take some custom development is what we've seen.
Okay, and then one last quick question for you, and then I'll let you continue on. But you've got a number of tools, and the question that came in was, if I've got customers that don't like my tools, how do you deal with that? Do you drop, do you say, hey, you know, I don't want you as a customer, or do you charge them a different price to service their business?
That's a good question. We've met resistance, one particular in automotive. It took a while for them to believe, and one of them actually thought we were taking their job by moving some of the management online. So we experienced it. I say you just got to keep pushing because, I mean, once they see that it's better for business, it speeds processes up, and, you know, sometimes there's some realized cost savings for both people that sometimes you got to go over the head to implement the process.
And one other quick question. How do you educate clients to do a better job at interfacing with you? Because a big component of it is education for the end user side of it for web storefronts. How do you do that, Tim?
Well, in that best case scenario that we had, it was really a cost analysis, cost accounting method. It got down to numbers and going to like a CFO level, showing them what obsolescence runs, you know, then showing them what tools we had as far as managing assets and how automation can play such a huge role in transferring, you know, long turn times and getting rid of, you know, storage fees and long runs on offset to, you know, creating a digital asset that turns into a printed piece within a couple of days.
Great. Well, thanks, Tim, for answering all those questions. I'll let you keep going here on the what's next, because I think this is an exciting part of the market.
Sure. Well, you know, I wish I could say what's next for our industry, but, you know, what we see is customers who really expect more from their print and accountability from their marketing efforts. Our focus is going to be on, you know, not only offering these services and giving our customers the best solutions for their return on investment, but also working on how to automate those processes in our workflow. We see interactive print like image recognition, augmented reality, and, you know, further advancements in QR codes really taking off this year for our customer base. And we want to take advantage of these great technologies and find that right niche that will give our customers a solid marketing platform, and all of that being driven from print. So we know that volume is key, and making it in our business to do it profitably, we need to automate all these new technologies into our workflows.
You got anything to add to that, Larry?
That's what I was telling Tim earlier. I know when we were talking about what's next. I mean, I cannot tell everybody that's out there. I mean, you just constantly have to read, watch, listen. You know, go to sessions, pay attention to webinars, get on every one you can possibly get on, read what they think every day. I mean, it's very, very important that you stay abreast, because your customer is. They're staying abreast of it. So, but that's what's going to make you, that's what's going to make you more competitive and more profitable, because your top dollar amount of what you can sell a product for, that is capped. So what you have to work on is the bottom line. You have to get it automated. You have to cut the labor out of it. You have to where it comes in, it goes through seamlessly, and it gets shipped, and it gets all the way to belly and gets gone. So, you know, automation is the key. I know it's working well for us.
Larry, I do have one other quick question that came in while you were talking, and that is, what types of you've done a lot of work on the workflow side, ranging from automating web storefronts to getting into cross-media. What kind of technology resources do you have in the combined companies to help you manage all that, and what's the mix of the talent in terms of programmers versus, you know, maintenance people versus whatever?
Well, I mean, we have we almost have specialists in certain areas. We've got a couple of them that are in prepress and had a prepress background, and they work very, very close in a lot of the online portals and creating the templates. We have we have another prepress guy that operates so far as our ESCO system. Then we have another young man that has an IT background, but here again, he has, you know, design and a prepress background. So to sum it up, I think it's most of our groups that understand this have a design prepress IT background. Would you say that, Tim?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've added, I think our last two hires have been guys that are very technical but have design skills. So we're kind of looking for that blend of a little mix of HTML programming / Photoshop and whatnot. So they really can manage everything online for us.
Okay, and a couple other quick questions they keep coming in while you're talking. But the other question that somebody asked is how do you sell? Is your sales force primarily direct, or do you have distributors that you also work with?
We have both, Barb. We do have seven sales reps here. And we work with them weekly on sales meetings. I mean, we walk them through our online site. We have a C-Bridge portal site that all the sales guys can go in and order their own sales material, their own business cards, their own promotional pieces, and they can go in, they can personalize notebooks and scratch pads for some of the customers as they are making calls. And, you know, we always like to get in front of people and show them. It's the old feel and touch.
Yep.
You know, you got to get in front of them and actually show them physically, let them touch it. And it's always great to have them here on the shop, because then we can walk them right through the whole process, where we can have them in the conference room. We go in online. We show them the template. They take it. We lay it out, and then within 10 minutes, well, then the guy from the back is walking in with the printed piece.
Yep.
I mean, that really makes them understand. But it's all the dog and pony show. You got to get in front of them and show them exactly how it works, not just talk about it.
Yeah. Now, was it challenging, and I've got some good questions coming in, so I'll keep going for a few more minutes. Was it challenging to get your customer service team up to speed with new technology and alter that from a manual business process?
You want that?
I don't want to touch this one.
You know, it is challenging. You know, I mean, the customer service group that we have are outstanding. But when you're on the front line like that, just, you know, trying to fend customer questions, customer calls, you know, trying to work with production there in the back, where and yes, we do train them, you know, on the features, not to the extent that we do the sales guys, but the more through automation, the more we can pull off of them,
mm-hmm.
which helps them tremendously.
Is there, in the last question I've gotten, then we'll wrap up here, but is did you have any pushback from employees with traditional print backgrounds that were threatened by the implementation of new technologies?
Not a bit. They welcomed it. They surely did. It's amazing, Barb. I did have some pushback from customers when I was in certain areas. I think it was just new to them. They didn't understand it. They felt like the automation would, relieve some of their responsibilities. I think they had a little bit of a hesitation on that. But once they started understanding how all this works, well, then, they were on board with it.
Well, great. Well, I want to thank you guys for sharing. And I'm going to wrap up with just a couple of recommendations and conclusions for everybody. I think one of the things that we talked about today, and I think Larry and Tim are the epitome of this, is doing the right thing. And what I liked was Larry starting out by sharing with everybody that even as they consolidated by looking at what the customer's need was. And your customers are going to drive your desire and your need to be effective from a digital basis. And so you're looking at things like my customers are going to demand turnaround time. I need to be easy to access, that management of the marketing supply chain. I need to be able to deliver complex variable data applications. I need to help my customers get into new media channels. And so as they put together their workflow and the considerations around that, especially as they built SeaBridge, those all played an important role in terms of understanding what it would take to be effective. And then you really have to do the thing right. And in this economy, and I think Larry highlighted this, customers and the need to be the most cost-effective supplier are going to drive you to do a good job at end-to-end workflow. And that means I need to have great external connectivity, internal connectivity, and I need to have the ability then to leverage those performance improvements to expand my service offerings for competitive differentiation. And so I tell, just in wrapping up, both Larry and Tim, that they're doing a good job at both doing the right thing and doing the thing right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Again, if you have any questions that we didn't get to, we'll send you back a note on those, and we'd appreciate if you take a minute to fill out our feedback survey. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks so much for your time and attention.